Hello, everybody. I'm sorry I'm a couple of minutes late, but I'm so happy to be here with all of you for our listening practicum today. Yay! I've been really looking forward to this call. I love all the calls, but the practicums are oftentimes my favorite calls. So there are really opportunities and powerful opportunities for us to go even deeper with the concepts that we've learned so far. And for today, we're going to be going deeper with our listening skills, although you'll see a lot of the energetics are going to come into play as well. So let me tell you a little bit about how the practicum is going to work, and then we'll go from there. So I'm going to call on a volunteer, and you'll be whoever volunteers. Thank you in advance. We're going to need probably two volunteers today. And so I'm going to call on a volunteer, and I'm not going to coach you, but I'm just going to try to, like, extract information from you so that all of us can really use our deep listening skills and hear what's going on for you, and then share what we've been listening. So when I extract the information, I always try my hardest not to coach, but to really just extract information for the purposes of gathering, you know, material for listening. But sometimes I end up coaching a little bit. And so here's the thing, and this is really, really important. It means that I'm going to be doing way less talking on this call than I usually do, and that as a group, you are all going to be doing a lot more of the talking and the sharing. As you share what you have heard the volunteer say, it's important for you to share for a couple of reasons. Number one, because so often, and especially as we're going through this learning process, we think we're hearing something, but we don't trust ourselves, you know, all the things, right? So this is a safe space for you to actually lean in to what you think you're hearing and to express it so that you can really build the muscle. When you share what you've heard, it's also an opportunity to receive feedback from me. And then, of course, when we hear each other's shares and what different people have heard, you know, the listening that they've done, it just, we get new ideas and it opens up new things. So we're a little bit of a small group today, and I really want to encourage everybody to participate, to share what you're hearing. That's what's going to make the call more rich, is if you raise your hand and share all of the things that you're hearing. Like I said, you're going to learn so much from each other as well. Now, here's one thing that I want to say, because it can sometimes be a thing in these practicums, and I want to just be clear about it. I really want to encourage you, even if you're feeling shy or unsure of what you're hearing, to bring it forward. Like I said a couple minutes ago, so that you can get feedback on it and so you can also build the muscle of taking some risks and leaning in. That's what makes really good coaches. When you share, as I'm sure you know, this is a loving environment. So when you share, I will either say, "Ah, I heard that too," and I'll pull some more, even more out of it, and I'll explain why or pieces behind it. Or when you share, it might be something that I didn't hear, and as soon as you share it, it makes total sense, and I'll validate that. And then every now and again, when somebody shares something that they've heard, I may not have heard it and still may not hear it. And if that's the case, I'll give you that loving feedback too, and we'll refer back to our volunteer to see if she feels seen and heard in that share. Now, I say that because, number one, I am not the ultimate, right? Like, I'm holding the space, I'm teaching, but there are plenty of things that I don't catch, right? Or that maybe my filter is off and I don't hear. So if I do happen to give the feedback of, you know, I'm not hearing that, let's check back with our volunteer. I want to invite you and ask you from my heart not to get insulted and not to shrink and not to make yourself wrong and not to make up any stories about it. One of the beauties of this practicum is that we're all learning. All of us are learning. Okay, so that being said, I want to just briefly review, of course, you know, we won't get to all of them, but I just want to review a lot of the listening skills that we've learned so far and what I want you to be listening for as you do your listening practice today. So, of course, just remembering some of the foundational pieces around everybody wants to feel seen, heard, and loved. I want to remind you to be present in every moment. I want to remind you to listen to yourself and your own hunches and your own intuitions, as well as listening to the client. I want to remind you to be curious and follow your curiosity. That often leads to the deepest listening, and then ultimately also to the best questions. I want to remind you to listen not only for the what, you know, for the actual situation that our volunteer brings forward, but to also listen for the who. Who is this person? What is their nature? What are you hearing about not just their situation, but about who they are? Remember to check your filters and your biases so that you can clean your ears and be able to really listen with integrity and to get to those deeper layers. Listen for emotional states. Listen for if the client is engaged or not with what she's talking about. Listen for silence, for pacing, for tone. Listen for a match or mismatch between the volunteer's behavior, goals, commitments. Listen for what's motivating the client. Listen for specific language and terms that the clients use. Listen for strengths, obstacles, potential obstacles, beliefs, goals, what's influencing the client. Listen for if things seem misplaced with the rest of the conversation. Listen for what the client isn't saying. Listen for if things get repeated and if there is meaning there. Listen for what the client is becoming aware of or what the client is scared of. Listen for connections and patterns, right? And of course, so much more. But you know, those are some of the things, right? And don't let your brain explode like trying to keep track of all of those things. I just mention all of those now as light reminders. But really, I want you to come into the listening really open. You know, and I'll just say one other thing is the other reason why I love these practicums is it reminds me of the gym where when you go to the gym, you can go on like different strength training machines and isolate particular muscles, right? And that can be helpful sometimes. When you're doing your partner coaching, it's like, you're on a machine that's working all the different muscles, but these practicums, it gives us an opportunity to isolate specific muscles, right? So today we're going to isolate the listening muscle. All right, I've already done enough talking. So with that, I'd love to call forward a volunteer. So who'd be willing to be our first volunteer and share with us a current situation that you'd like support on? Let me get us into lecture mode here. It's star 2 to raise your hand. So don't be shy. You'll also receive a lot, even though you don't get coached, from all the reflections, you really receive a lot when you get to be the volunteer. So who'd like to be our first volunteer, star 2? All right, who is this? 5473.
It's Siobhan. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Siobhan. How are you?
I'm okay. Not great today, which is why I volunteered.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but thank you for volunteering, and hopefully this will be helpful. Thank you for being our courageous first volunteer.
You're welcome.
So, tell us about a current situation. You know, of course, this isn't going to be a coaching session, but you know, almost as if you would be coached on it. Tell us about a current situation that you'd like support on.
Well, I just, all of a sudden, I'm just feeling super overwhelmed, which is something that happens to me. You know, I've been very gung-ho about the material and following through on everything, you know, starting to get into the business aspect and marketing, and I'm new at this, and I'm starting to panic a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've done really good with my self-talk and self-care, and then, I don't know, last night I stayed up too late watching something that kind of brought me down. I'm, like, super sensitive that way. It's, like, not good for me. And then I woke up this morning, you know, just like forgetting all these things that I needed to do. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I just kind of went on this downward spiral. And I'm going, you know, what if I can't do this? And all the negative self-talk started. And I'm trying to pull myself out. But on a feelings level, I'm kind of stuck. I'm just going kind of in fear and, oh, my God. And, you know. There's so much for me to learn yet, you know, especially with the business stuff and the marketing and the elderly woman I'm taking care of is really sick and I don't know if she's going to make it, and I'm just panicking about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Tell us a little bit more about what it is that you're actually scared of.
Not bringing in any money or enough money.
Uh-huh. Tell us more about that.
So it's happened to me before, and I left a 20-year marriage with my kids, and it was terrifying to be on my own with them for years. We really struggled. They grew up and moved away, and they're fine. I got back into the field that I had been in before, and it burned me out severely. It was nothing like it used to be. And I ended up walking away from that and kind of giving everything up and selling all my stuff to live a much simpler lifestyle. So I don't have as much income coming in, and, you know, life, it's a little more precarious. And I always land on my feet, but I do carry this undercurrent of fear about it, you know. It's like, oh my God, I don't want to have to move again or whatever. I've had to move a lot. And I did grow up with a lot of financial struggles in our family. I have two brothers that were born with really severe heart conditions, and it was just always a struggle. So that's like been a theme.
Mm-hmm. Trying so hard not to coach, just trying to extract information. Tell us a little bit more about how what was going on in your household growing up impacted you.
Well, I mean, there's a pretty clear connection in that, although there are days when I feel like, or weeks, I feel like I've really overcome that, it comes back. But yeah, there was a sense of panic in my mother. You know, two of my brothers, my oldest one was one of the first ones in the country to have open heart surgery as a little boy. It was way back in the late 50s, early 60s. And so it was outrageously expensive. And, you know, my father was always really angry and discouraged. And It was just really tough, you know. And my mother, I remember her always talking about money, always talking about money. You know, we don't have enough, we don't have enough, things like that. So,
yeah. Yeah. Sounds like it mm-hmm. was hard and left an imprint.
Yeah.
On you.
Yeah.
What, how does the panic about money impact you now? Like, share with us a little bit more about where, what it causes you to do or stops you from doing, inner and outer.
So I'm one of those, you know, it seems like there are people who, when they get panicked, either it motivates them and they, you know, do anything and everything, and they kind of almost force things to happen. And I'm the opposite. When I get into that mode, and I'm totally aware that I'm doing this, but when it starts, I have trouble stopping that momentum. I kind of almost feel like curling up, and I start to feel like, oh my God, I don't even know what to do next. And then I don't get things done like I should. And that really hasn't happened yet, but I'm feeling that kind of coming on, and just the, you know, kind of just withdrawing, forget it. I'm not going to do this, that, or the other thing, or just pretend like it's not there. And then of course it gets worse and I beat myself up and see, you know, of course you can't do it, you know. You know, oh, and I should add, I don't know if I've said this before, but I'm, in the group, I'm in recovery. I got into recovery at age 23, and I'm 59 now. So I've been in recovery for a long time. But as a teen, I was very much, you know, the screw up, the kid who was, you know, just not. I got very overwhelmed in school and with my family dynamics. And so I just started using and, you know, to cope and stuff like that.
Sounds like you've been through a lot.
Yeah, I have kind of been through a lot, I guess.
Yeah. You said earlier that you seem to always land on your feet.
Yeah.
Share with us some more information about that.
So even like when I left my husband with my kids, it was probably one of the most terrifying things I've ever done. I didn't have a great, you know, hold on a career at that point or anything. And we ended up having to move a couple of times during that period, but we got through it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just get through it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you want?
I want to just be able to have, and I guess I don't know how realistic I'm being, but I want to be able to have an income that supports me doing, having my own business, you know, doing the coaching.
Yeah.
And, now I'm thinking, well, gosh, will I even be able to make $40,000 a year? I mean, you know, I've been listening to your business stuff and I was like, holy cow, people are making that much money. I can't even imagine. You know, but I am new at this too. I know you've built a business over a long time. So I'm just wondering what is realistic? Am I kidding myself? I don't know. Am I going off on a tangent?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's all really helpful information. So I'm trying so hard not to go or reflect me. I was asking questions. Okay, I'm not going to reflect that back. Let me just see if there's anything else that I want to ask you for our purposes right now. Talk to us a little bit more about what's going on immediately in your life right now. You shared just a little bit in the beginning like real immediate, like watching the TV show last night, and then a little bit, you know, further out, the elderly woman that you're working with, you know, seems like things are not stable there. But just anything else that you might want us to know about what's going on in your life right now?
It's just I'm more forgetful. I've been looking at my diet, which has not been the greatest. I have celiac disease as well, but I'm real good about that. I don't eat any gluten, but my body's very sensitive, and I've been eating too much sugar and things like that, and I guess kind of getting paranoid about, I don't know, I'm kind of doing this weird self-sabotage, it feels like. Like my diet could be better and I would feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I have started doing Pilates again, which is something I loved. But I do, you know, physically I struggle just with a lot of inflammation and stuff. So I have to
what's
be easy on myself.
Okay. And what's the self-sabotage that's going on right now with the eating?
I think the food just that I'm not eating as healthy as I should be. I'm eating too much sugar, you know, and it makes me feel like crap. You know, I want to have a better, well, and then here's the other piece to that. Like I can't really afford to eat it like the way I would like to eat right now. I have to be careful and, you know, I'm not eating total garbage, but I would love to eat all organic, fresh stuff. That would be so lovely, but I can't do that. So, and I'm just renting a very small part of a house right now, just, again, low rent, just so that I can get this business going.
Got it.
So,
tell us a little bit more about your work situation. So not the coaching that you're starting to step into, but how you're making your income right now.
So it's a pretty good position, you know, they pay me decently. It's a nice family. The woman I'm taking care of is 91, and she was recently diagnosed with a few things, but in particular breast cancer. And you know, she's got Alzheimer's, and she's fallen a couple times, but we've managed to remedy that to a large extent. And the breast cancer is, at this point, I guess we just found out about it. It's they're going to be doing palliative care with some kind of a pill that I need to
stop. Wait, hold on. I'm going to stop you because I don't think we need to know that information.
Oh.
I guess they're just trying to extract like anything you might want us to know about your career up until this point.
Okay. So I was a substance abuse counselor for many years, and I was a supervisor for a while. And my last couple of jobs were a nightmare. The field is very difficult. People are dying all the time because of the heroin epidemic. And the last job was just so stressful. I was working like 70 hours a week. And I ended up with, what's it called? All of a sudden I can't think of what it's called. You know the thing you get from chicken pox when you're older?
Yes. I forget what it's called. I'm sure somebody will remind us when I call for Sherry later, but I'm getting old too.
Super common.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Super common name. And, I ended up with that. Yeah, thank you. Maybe I have a block. It was horrible. And so I was very sick with that. My boss was horrific. She just, you know, didn't care. And I ended up I had an opportunity to come to Raleigh and kind of start over. And I just walked away from that job. And I walked away from the field. I was like, I'm done. I can't, you know, the last couple of jobs that I've had in the field were just, and it's insanity now with the heroin epidemic and the insurance restrictions and, oh my gosh.
So you walked away. And now are you working 70 hours a week? Or what's your work situation like?
I'm working about 30, which is really nice. And give or take, you know, sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down just a little bit. So I can probably find another situation like this. But, you know, I always have that fear. And who knows how soon I'll need to. But it's a little precarious that way. I have some money, not a ton, but I have enough to get by for a little while. So it's not the end of the world. But I hate that feeling of, oh, no, I don't want to have to start over. I don't want to have to go through that, you know. I don't want to go through all that.
Yes. Okay. I'm sure there's a lot more that we could ask, but I feel like we've got a lot of information that came to the surface. So thank you. So we'll pause there.
Thanks.
And here's what I would like everybody to do. And Siobhan, I want you to do this as well. So hopefully everybody, as you were hearing Siobhan speaking, maybe you were making notes about what you were hearing, maybe not. Either way, I want everybody to write down right now 5 to 10 of the most important things that you heard as you were listening deeply. So just take a moment now, write down 5 to 10 of the most important things that you've heard. It's okay if you don't have 10. No judgments here, right? This is all about being gentle with ourselves and just showing up and practicing. So what are some of the most important things that you heard? I'll give you a minute with that. And I'll add this question into the mix as you write down your 5 to 10 things. Are there any things that you didn't hear that feel significant that they weren't shared? What didn't you hear that seems significant? That might help activate some pieces for you as well. And then two other questions, and then I'm going to take shares on what you heard. These two questions are less about what you heard and more just important for you as you're practicing your listening. So first question, next question is, what were the filters that you were listening through as you were listening to Siobhan that you can see now if you didn't check that? You may have checked them, you may not, but it would be unhelpful. It would stop you from hearing if you hadn't checked those filters. Hopefully that question makes sense to everyone. What were some of the filters that you were listening through that would be unhelpful if you hadn't checked them? So you as the listener, as the coach. And what are some of the clients' filters that you noted? What are some of the clients' filters that you noted? Okay. So I'm going to ask for people to share what they heard. Again, please don't be shy for all the reasons, including we're a small group today. So, you know, please come forward. If you're here, please come forward and share. So, Star 2, what's something that you heard as you were listening to Siobhan? Star 2. Who is this 4372?
Hi, Joanna. This is Swati.
Can't hear you. I think it's Swati, but cannot hear you at all.
Yeah, it's me. Can you hear me?
No, Swati, you're... like not, it's really, I don't know if you can call in from another line, but you're, just can't hear you. See if you can call in from another line or hang up and come back again. All right, I'm going to take someone else. I'm sorry, I could not hear you. Deborah.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Siobhan, for sharing.
Now I can't hear you, Deborah. Are you there?
I see you.
Oh, I don't know what's happening here with our technology. Hold on a second, Deborah. I heard you, and then I didn't. Let me make sure it's
still.
Are you there? Hello? Deborah?
Much, I know that.
Deborah? Can... Okay. Deborah, can you hear me? Let me just bring Siobhan back on. For a second,
you've been struggling
with her before. Siobhan, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you. So it must be something with Deborah's line. Okay, thanks. All right, Deborah, hopefully you can hear me. I'm going to put you back on mute. Maybe you can call back in. All right, we're going to keep on going. Hopefully we'll hear some shares here. All right, let's see who's next. Belinda.
Yes, Siobhan. It was wonderful to hear your life or what's been happening. The one thing I heard throughout was your resiliency, like the ability when you were younger to come out of the family you did with the issues and knowing that you needed to go in recovery. So I really am hearing resiliency. After you left your marriage, I'm hearing you have this wonderful resiliency and even making another change. Like there's a part of you that's not even afraid to make changes. So I'm really hearing that you have courage and resiliency.
Beautiful. I'm so glad you're bringing those forward, Belinda. Those are some things that I noted as well. And it's so important, right? Like exactly what Belinda's saying, as we were listening to Siobhan, you could hear through the experiences that she was sharing that she's incredibly resilient. She's been through so much in her life, and yet she continues to show up, right? She like she said, she always lands on her feet. She's still here, and she's still working towards a better future. That is noteworthy and such a strength of the client that as coaches and practitioners, we're going to want to mirror back to them at some point. And same with Siobhan's courageousness. I mean, she noted a number of things that just really were so striking in terms of her courage, right? So number one, to leave her marriage with her children, that is such a courageous act, even when she didn't know what was going to happen. And then to leave the work that she was doing, you know, to just leave it, even though there has always been this fear around money, and to start something new. Again, such a beautiful example of courage, and something that as this client's coach, we want to note about them, right? We want to know this about them. And then at some point, we're probably going to want to mirror this to them as well. Beautiful. Okay, let's see who's next. Anne.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. What I also heard, in the undercurrent of doubt and fear that was being expressed was both this resilience, right? Like that, you know, yeah, I know I can do it. I've done it before. But, oh, God, I don't want to have to do it that way anymore. I heard very clearly, I want a new paradigm. I want a new way of doing this that doesn't grind my knuckles to the bone in the process.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to just be responsible for filters I'm listening through. Siobhan, you and I could definitely have a conversation about parallel experiences happening currently. So in terms of having to deal with stuff. So,
yeah, and
you know,
so that really actually helps you hear her even better, right? So long as you check that filter, if you're going through something similar, don't bring your own beliefs to it, right? Which if you check that filter, you won't, but it actually can help you hear even more deeply into the story. And I want to ask you, Anne, because I think it's important, you know, what you're bringing forward about how Siobhan wants a new paradigm, how she wants to do it differently. Why are you bringing that forward as something that you heard? Like, why is that significant as a coach to hear that?
So I heard her say, I don't want to just get through it anymore. And I also heard her say things about the future she's building as a coach and wanting to build a new business. And where that intersected with I go into overwhelm and panic and then I shut down and then I don't know what to do. And to my ears as a coach, this is a client who the bridge to getting where they want to get to is interwoven with developing a way of doing things that's distinctly different from how it's been done before, so that there's plenty of energy to reach the goal, so that it isn't soul-grinding like the past overcomings have been, and that that's also something she's going to bring to her clients is how to overcome those past patterns and bring some ease to the process, even when there's a lot of hard work, that the hard work isn't such a grind down.
Nice.
And there's we saw Frozen a couple weeks ago. It's like when you don't know where to go, just do the next right thing, right? But that's hard to do when you haven't yet envisioned the new paradigm that you want to be able to step into.
Yeah.
So
nice.
She's
beautiful.
In this in-between place, right, of I don't want what I used to have. I know I want something different, but the vision isn't complete enough to step forward into. So what I would want to do is look at where the doubts are holding her back from really fully imagining how things could be and then working backwards from that completed future. Did that make sense?
Yes. And okay. So there's a bunch of really beautiful things that I want to pull out for all of us from what you're saying. So first of all, yes, as the coach, to note that Siobhan is in a transition moment right now. Exactly what Anne said. It's like, you know, as we listen, we could hear that there's a way that she's been doing things over and over and over again that has worked for her to a certain extent. She always lands on her feet, but that is not working for her anymore in the ways that she really wants. Now, she hasn't gotten to the new place yet, right? But it's significant for us as coaches to note that she's in between the two worlds, that she recognizes that she wants something different, that she sounds like she's ready for something different, and that, but the new vision isn't quite there. She hasn't quite quite started working towards it, though I would say in some ways she has started working towards it. The other thing, Anne, that I think, I'm hearing in what you're sharing in terms of what you heard for Siobhan that I also want to pull out, is that she seems to be, in sacred depths, we call this on a wheel of self-sabotage a little bit. And, in sacred depths, later in the program, we really just break down this wheel. But I just want to point out, and you spoke to it a little bit, and there's kind of this pattern of going to start to do something and then panicking about it, that it can't be done, that she can't do it. And so then she curls up and doesn't do it. And then it kind of proves that belief true, that she can't do it. And so there's a little bit of kind of being stuck on that wheel. Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you. Who else? Star 2. Who else wants to come forward? And Swati and Deborah, feel free to raise your hands again. I want to hear what you guys had to say. Star 2. Who's this from Wisconsin? 6264.
Hi, this is Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hello. So, Siobhan, thank you so much for sharing with us. And through your share, I heard a lot of energy, a lot of you're doing, right? There's so much going on with your current work and your want, the growing and the learning and putting everything together for that overwhelm. So I just heard so much output, so much energy, and where it was starting to spin of maybe, prioritization. That was a word that wasn't said at all, but that was kind of coming through as well of, with all this work, now where do I go? What do I do? And the word priority was coming up to me, or which one is going to be important for you to follow through on.
I love it. I love it. That's not something that I noted, but I, now that you're saying it, I agree completely. It was like a little, we could hear like a little bit of a confusion of like, okay, so there's all these things to do in order to start a business and be a coach and make money. And what do I do? And where is my energy going to go? And as you're saying, Emily, that's so important as a coach to note, because a very important and viable conversation might be around the priorities piece and how to start prioritizing as a way of moving forward without so much of the overwhelm.
Yeah. And what feels good to do, right? So with that overwhelm, okay, what's not feeling good or what feels good to move into to see if there's an energetic match, to help with that progress forward.
Yeah. Nice. Beautiful. These are such great shares. Who else? Star 2. I'm going to lower the hands that are already up so we have a clean slate in case anybody that already shared wants to share again. Star 2. I know that there you guys heard more things here. I'll share with you some other things that I heard, but I want to hear your wisdom. Star 2. Ah, Cindy. Hold on, let me get you here. Cindy.
Hello.
Great.
Part of what I heard was the struggle and the desire to want to stay healthy, but not really having the means to do it, like with the eating better and the celiac and all of that sort of stuff. But then I didn't really hear a lot about like other plans for self-care, like support outside of all this energy expelling, like Emily just said. A lot of doing, but not a lot of time for being.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking from my own filter as a former substance abuse specialist myself, thinking like, does she have like a support network that, thinking about the tendency of the type of person who goes into that type of work to like burn out quickly, like she even said, and thinking about how to put some more supports into place just to keep on the path of success without becoming burned out quickly just because of that overwhelm.
Yes, I love it. So it's interesting because one of the things that I had noted too, like what I didn't hear was around what's her support, you know, is her family supporting her? Is there a network of friends or, you know, all of that? But I wasn't hearing it with the filter of the substance abuse counseling. And so this is, I'm so glad that you're mentioning that filter, Cindy, because that's a place where, you know, again, as coaches, when we share filters, so long as we check them, it's like we can lean in even more and see even more when there's that shared filter. So that's so great. And yeah, it does feel really important. I also loved what you said about just the hearing. One of the things that you heard or listened was that there is doing, but that you didn't really hear much space for being. And again, something like that is really significant for us just as coaches to know, right? It will help us to know how to approach our client, to be able to create breakthroughs, whether it's around reflecting or asking questions, you know, whatever it is. Really nice. Good. Anyone else want to share star two? Going once, going twice. Lissa.
Hi, yes. I also had down the part about feeling supported, and I heard her talk about being supported by her income, and you touched on it a bit, but the idea of being supported by the intangible things. How can she help herself feel supported, you know, as well as the income? The income is the obvious one of feeling supported, so that stood out for me. And I also... one of the things that I noticed about my filters that would have been unhelpful is my own experiences of low income and stress, mm-hmm. and that I'm also on the path. I'm not of like reestablishing my own income, so I'm not sure how much of my own stress would be triggered in conversation.
I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. It's such a great example of why we want to check our filters. And I'll just tell you, Lissa, because you're aware of that filter, you know, now that we've done the work, I don't want to say like if you were coaching that you wouldn't be triggered. You might a little bit, but I don't think it would be in a way that would be damaging to the client simply because now you're aware of that filter.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yeah. Yeah, yes.
And
is.
Then what
yeah.
I would say is if that did come up in a coaching session and you're like, oh, I have this filter, you know, it could, it's painful right. for me and I might get triggered. So then there's a couple things you can do. I'm going to share this with you and also for everybody else's benefit. So number one, you know, if it's as much as it's appropriate, share with the client, you know, I just want to, you know, anything that you reflect or any questions you ask, you can say like, you know, and tell me if this rings true for you because I want to make sure it's not my filter, right? Yeah. So just to be transparent about it is uber helpful. And then what I'd say is after the session, when you're doing like your own post-session assessment and work, journal on it and see what beliefs may have kind of been coming up and being brought into the mix so that you can check them even more for moving okay. forward.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, really nice. I'm glad you brought that forward. All right. Anyone else that wants to share on Siobhan? Star two. All right, these are great shares. I'm going to just throw in a couple more things that I heard that I think will be helpful for you guys. So another thing that I heard is Siobhan is incredibly self-aware, right? Remember, we want to always be listening for the who, and one of the things we want to be listening for is how self-aware is my client in general and also around whatever particular situation. But Siobhan is an incredibly self-aware person, and she could even speak to, like, this is how I'm speaking to myself, this is the inner voice, this is, right? So that's important information for us as the coach. another piece that I heard, she mentioned that her father was always very discouraged with the family situation. And there were moments where I heard when Siobhan was sharing about her own situation, I could hear that energy of discouragement, right? So I could see, I heard a connection between her father's energy, what he may have modeled for her, and then her energy and that pattern of discouragement. So that's something that I may want to bring forward as a practitioner in order to catalyze a breakthrough. I heard at one point her say, I have to be more easy on myself. She said it real quickly and moved on, right? But that's important, right? Because it shows that even though there's so much of the inner voice that's saying, I can't do it, and, you know, like kind of all the judgment, that she also has alive inside of her a voice of higher wisdom that gets that she is not being as compassionate with herself as she could be, that gets that she is ready to be more easy on herself, right? So in order to catalyze a breakthrough, I may want to really capitalize and leverage that and bring that forward. She spoke briefly about this screw up, always being the screw up, right? So again, just making connections around how that's translated into her adulthood. That might be a place where you want to bring in, look at some patterning to catalyze a breakthrough. When she was talking about food, I would want to ask more. I'm not going to say this with full assurance, but I'm pretty sure I heard that she is applying the myth of perfection to how she's approaching her eating, because my guess is she's probably eating way better than she gives herself credit for, but because of expectations of perfection, she's probably beating herself up more than she needs to. So that might be an area of looking into. You know, in Sacred Depths, we do get to breaking down this myth of perfection when we coach. And then just one more thing I'll throw in for now. Another thing I heard is that there's a lot of newness right now, or relative newness, in Siobhan's life. She just left her former career. She just moved to a new place. And the reason why that's significant is because when there is newness, a couple of things. Number one, it means that the client might be ready for new patterns in other places. So I might point out, reflect to this client, you know, this is new and this is new. You're ready for a new slate with your money story as well, or your ability to bring in income, right? There's like an opportunity there. And then the other reason why it's important as a practitioner to note if there are a lot of new things is there's a lot that's just changed for Siobhan, and that might be kicking up some anxiety. I also heard that her elderly client or patient, you know, just her, the client's current health situation might be kicking up some anxiety too. That is contributing to some of the panic that Siobhan has, right? And so that's important because sometimes we want to separate out like the truth from the story. This isn't exactly separating out truth from story, but like the panic around the money, yes, is related to the panic around the client's health, because that's where her money's coming from. But my sense is that we could also hear how deeply caring person she is. My sense is that there's some overwhelm because she's so deeply caring. There's anxiety around the client's health, which might be impacting some of the other pieces too. Okay, so Siobhan, we've just spent a lot of time talking about you. I want to bring you back here for a moment. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, my goodness.
Awesome.
That was
so
great.
So I want to hear, like, what's the question? I want to ask, like, you know, even though we weren't coaching you, right, we were just kind of sharing what we heard. How was that for you as the client? What did you learn for yourself, or what did that do for you?
Well, it gave me a lot of clarity, which was super helpful, because part of what happens when I'm
in overwhelm is I lose a sense of clarity. You know what I mean? I just feel like I'm kind of free falling. So it was super helpful to hear things like how resilient I am, because I tend to not see that in myself. I see myself as flighty because when things I don't feel aligned to something for a while, I'm like, I'm not living like this. I did not get clean and sober as many years ago as it was to live like this. But I don't have a lot of support partly because people have judged me for it. And I am living in a new area, but it was really good to hear the good qualities that I have. It was really good to hear that.
Yeah, why is that helpful?
Because when I'm feeling like this, it's like I have this whole other self-image that steps in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I have trouble reaching the healthier one. And
just the hearing of this, hearing helped you kind of connect in with that healthier one, the one with the healthier.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
beautiful. Is there anything just from hearing other people's shares and you just speaking, just having the space to speak, is there anything that you heard that wasn't shared but that feels important or significant?
God, so much. I was writing pretty much the whole time everybody was talking. There's so much. Dealing with prioritizing is important, perfectionism, and getting more support. Those are all really important. Finding a way to, I really have been just kind of only doing this, going to work, you know, and then resting, but not really, I don't really have much of a social life right now. And that's a pattern of mine too when I move, is
okay,
to just
so
kind
I'm glad
of,
that that's coming up for you too. That's something that you might want to take action on. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Good.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I think we have time for another quickie. We'll do another quick volunteer in a moment. But before we do, I just want to check in. Any questions or just reflections, like what anyone is seeing for yourself around listening from the work that we did so far today? I'd love to hear from at least one of you. What are you starting to see for yourself, or what question do you have? Star two. Anyone want to share? Here we go. I think this is Emily again.
Yes, just a quick question. I just want to make sure that when we do our reflection, our share, it's just sharing, and we should leave it at that. No questioning. Is that correct? I just want to make sure
that
I'm doing
that
right.
That was just for the purpose of today. Remember I said earlier in the call, we're just isolating the listening muscle in the practicum today. So how we shared today isn't necessarily how you would share in a coaching call. You're in Catalyzing Breakthroughs, and our next module that we're going to get into is creating awareness. And so I'll share different strategies for how to mirror what you hear, and then, you know, go from there. But today we weren't doing it the way we would necessarily do it in a coaching session. It was just to isolate the muscle to see what we're hearing. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you. Cool.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad you asked that in case there's any confusion on that. Good. And this is Deborah. Hopefully we'll be able to hear you this time. Are you there?
Hi. Sure. Hi. This is more of an observation. Yes,
yeah.
I'm seeing this is all very new to me, and I'm kind of learning my own system and how to weave it with this. So I'm observing just, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, kind of a self-judgment of doing it the right way. Just an observation.
I'm so glad that you're bringing that
Thank
forward.
You.
Yes, so tell us a little bit more about that.
I don't want to go into a long story.
Well, do you want to be our next share? Do you want to be our next volunteer? Can we volunteer on this? Would that be okay with you?
Sure.
Yeah, did I put you on the spot right now? You can say no if you don't want to.
Okay.
Okay. Are you sure?
Okay.
Thank you.
No, I'm not.
You're not? Okay.
I want to be able to spit, I want to really be able to spit it out to be able to get something and give something rather. I mean, I'd love to receive, believe me, I would love to, but I'd love to be able to contribute.
Okay.
So,
so then let me just ask you, for right now, like this fear of not doing it the right way, where
yeah.
do you know that from?
Oh, honey, that's like from way back when, from my childhood.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if that's the child part of you that's saying you're not, because I don't know you very well yet, but I get the sense that you're an incredible practitioner in the work that you do. And my, tell me if you agree with this, but my thought is that this thought, this feeling that's coming up for you right now of like, I want to get it right. I'm scared. I'm not doing it the right way. My guess is that that's not your adult self. My guess is that that's a little girl, Deborah.
Oh,
it's saying
totally
that.
The little Debbie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, little
yeah,
Debbie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what does your adult self know about integrating these new skills into your practice?
I know that this is a different system than the coaching that I do, and I know that I'm going to be taking, hearing these incredible other women with their beautiful feedback and you, of course, all of it, and somehow it's going to come together. I'm going to just practice trusting that it's going to come together.
Yeah.
I'm going to just trust.
I love that.
And,
so,
and one thing I do with the child is and I've been working on this for a while, is take that child and just tell her, hey, it's going to be okay. I've got this. You know, you can go play. Hey, you know, let me handle this, and don't, no worries. You don't, you know, you're not back in 1965.
I know we all need that reminder sometimes, for sure. I do too. So I think you're saying two really important things here. Number one, I do want to invite you to do that practice with yourself, you know, as it comes up in the training. I think it's so important. And then the other piece, you know, if it resonates, I heard you say from your very wise place, I am willing to trust this process and know that it's all going to come together. And I'd love for you to write that down, star that, circle it, underline it, right? And continue to come back to that and allow that to lead the way.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for bringing that forward. I'm sure you're not the only one that is feeling that way. It always comes up in our practicum, so thank you for bringing that forward.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I think we have time for another quickie. So who would like to be our next volunteer? Star two. I'd love for some. Oh, good. We have a volunteer. Anne.
Hey.
Okay. So, well, I'm not going to extract as much from you as I did from Siobhan, but this will be like a goodie but a quickie. It'll teach us how to listen deeply in a short amount of time. So share with us a current situation that you would like support on.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's sort of a hybrid of Siobhan and Deborah because of a recent family financial crash. I've recognized that all the places where I want to have all my ducks in a row and make sure that I know exactly what I want my messaging to be and who I want my ideal client to be, that all of that, getting everything organized, is no longer how things are going to be done. That's a luxury that I can no longer afford. I need to put it out there,
in other words,
and
to have
start getting clients now.
To do that.
Yeah, yeah. I need to get out there and start attracting clients without being really clear. And so that's the preface to the challenge that kind of came to mind last night was I know I'm really good at what I do.
And I know that everyone who has worked with me in the past has been really thrilled with their results. And I cannot seem to find a way to articulate what it is I provide my clients. And that's completely stopping me from reaching out and asking people to refer folks that might want to work with me.
Okay. Trying not to coach, but... tell us a little bit more about what's your sense about why you're having trouble articulating.
So I can see a few different facets to it. One facet is that I decided, it's been a few years now, that when I got back into working after being done caring for my dad at home, I wasn't going to go back to being a full-time hypnotist. I was going to put the coaching out front. So I was tired of doing things the way I had done. And there were very concrete ways of expressing that that were given by the methodology I used and my history in that field. And the coaching was something that I would do with those clients as a value-added service. Now that script is flipped. And I don't have the same kind of codified language around coaching that was available for my 20 years as a hypnotist. Mm-hmm. Even though I've been a coach for almost as long, mm-hmm. I had never put myself out there primarily as a coach. So there's definitely, I'm noticing as I'm saying it, that there's a fear about what if I say something and I accidentally misrepresent myself? What if I am just not good at explaining what I do and nobody wants to work with me? And that's the childhood stuff of I better know how to do something right. And if I make a mistake, I should have known better. And the perfectionism, the compulsive perfectionism that goes with that. Mm-hmm. Like if I put it out there next week and it's not the right expression, like I'm screwed forever. I can't ever take it back, you know?
All right, you're already cooking.
Very final.
Good, good, good.
I don't know how not to. Like, I sleep
great.
And breathe it, right?
Yep.
Which I think is part
Okay,
of it because it's not a separate thing from how I move through my day. So it feels like telling people how I coach is trying to tell them who I am, which is equally difficult.
What? When the hypnosis was out front, what are some of the things that you really loved helping people with?
Do you mean like issues that they had or the ways that we worked?
Issues.
Oh, my favorite things to work with were people who had confidence issues, self-esteem issues, who were being referred by their therapist to get through a particular block around anxiety or depression. Really, the things where the work we were doing wasn't, well, let's stop you biting your nails or quitting smoking, you know.
Uh-huh.
But let's really look at how do you see yourself and how you see your world. And if we could shift that perspective, what new world would open up? And what things would you then naturally be able to do because it's part of this new world that you now can see is available? And I think the working with the issues and how we worked the issues also is pretty intertwined. And the coaching I like to do isn't really that different from the goals of the hypnosis in terms of, you know, there's a place you want to be, and there are obstacles to achieving that the way that you already know you're capable of, or maybe you don't even know you're capable of, but want to see about yourself. So let's unpack those obstacles and give you the new perspective that gets you where you want to be. I mean, that's the kind of the overview. But there was also always an undercurrent in that of being really important to me that every single client knows whether we articulated it this way or not, depending on their belief system, that they are a unique and special manifestation of the divine, of the creative force of the universe. and that there's nobody like them in all of human history. And so how do we unlock all the potential that's already there so they can live the very best life that they're here to live? So no matter what they were working on, it's all inside that basket, and it's all inside a basket of you are whole and complete as you were created, and it's just the broken mirror that you look into that distorts your image of what you think you can do in this world. So let's repair that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like putting that in my marketing materials is a little much. But maybe it's
a little
what? It's a little much, but maybe it's not.
Well, I'm trying not to coach, so I'll weigh in later on that.
Okay.
But right now I'm just going to extract a little bit more. But yes, well, we can come back to that. And I'm sure other people have some listening and reflections on that too. So as you, when you were working on the hypnosis with people, you know, low confidence, self-esteem, anxiety, depression, you help them unpack obstacles. You help them see that you were that they were unique and special manifestations of the divine, and then from there, help them unlock their potential. What are some of your favorite outcomes from particular clients that came forward, and or what are some like common outcomes that you saw? So you can answer both of those questions at once.
Well, so there's a general common outcome that most of the time the thing that people would come to me for, and I see this pattern also, like with my friends who ask me for advice and end up coached whether they want it or not right now, you know, is that the thing that they thought was going to take weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to achieve, usually they got within the first couple of sessions and then realized they could actually dream bigger. And I love that moment, right, when they're like, oh, my gosh, the thing I thought was insurmountable was easy, and now I can do this other thing. And it's just, that gives me so much joy. So as a common outcome, I love that. There's two client stories that come to mind. One was a lady who was on a lot of anti-anxiety meds whose therapist had sent her to try to reduce the number of meds she was on. And she was able to recognize at this time when she was like 3 or 4 years old at a family picnic, and her cousin pantsed her and everybody pointed and laughed. She made up the world wasn't safe, and she always needed to watch out, make sure that she wasn't going to embarrass herself. And that had spiraled into being on 3 or 4 different anxiety meds by the time she was 50. And within a 2-week period, she was down to 1 med, PRN, and was able to go to the grocery store without a companion because she hadn't even been able to shop for her groceries because somebody would look at her funny and she'd have a panic attack and have to go wait in the car and give her a list to her friend. Right? So, like, just seeing this immediate dramatic boost in functionality just for recognizing you're not a 3-year-old at a family picnic anymore. You're a grown-ass woman, and what other people think of you, you know, is not what determines your worth or who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just, it was just a glorious moment. And then the other one was a woman who came in. She's claustrophobic and wanted to fly to see a friend of hers who was about to have a baby, wasn't going to be able to get on the airplane because of the claustrophobia. And it turned out the claustrophobia was being driven by feeling incredibly trapped in an abusive marriage that nobody knew was abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did she undo claustrophobia in like a day, but she became a long-term coaching client. And I coached her like every week for 2 years and for no money because she had no money. Just because she knew she needed to get out of that marriage and had nobody who would support her because she was in an extremely conservative religious community that would not allow it.
Mm.
And she was able to leave with her 4 kids, having homeschooled them for like 20 years, and create an independent life for herself and get out of the abuse and find herself again. And like, it was such a privilege to walk that path with her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So those are my favorites. They're my top favorites of the last 21 years.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, beautiful. So, again, I'm not going to comment on them because I'm just extracting.
Okay.
This is the last question I'm going to ask for right now. A little bit of coaching, but hopefully it will also extract. If I were to tell you, Anne, that you are already super clear on what you have, or I should say clear enough, and that actually in all of your, everything you just shared in the last 10 minutes, you have more than enough for marketing copy, what would be your next excuse?
That wasn't the question I thought you were going to ask. What would be my next excuse? I mean, really, it's a, I have no idea what I just said.
There's a recording. Yay!
Oh, good. That's good. But, I mean, that's frequently it. Like, I'll brainstorm stuff, and then stuff will come out, and it flows. And then somebody's like, great, use that, or great, say that again. I'm like, I don't even know what it was. Because once the flow's gone, it's just, it's like a phantom. But if I went past that, the next excuse there would be, I don't feel like I know how to extract what I said as marketing copy, and maybe it's the, just that I have some story made up about what's appropriate marketing copy that isn't, so.
What's appropriate? What's your story?
Well, I think my story is, I don't know, I've never known.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing I probably blame my ex-husband for. That I could take back that power. So my my ex-husband owns a multimedia design company, and he used to say, like, well, when you're ready, you know, then, and you have everything together, then I'll help you. But it was never enough. It was never right. And so he never helped. And I never thought that what I had was good enough, because I felt like it's the thing I don't know how to do, and he's the expert. And, yeah, like when you can explain who you are and what you do clearly enough, I'll introduce you to the right people. Mm. And it that was just abuse of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Reasons we're not married anymore, right?
Yeah. Good.
I'm glad. So right, if I could let go of that story that I adopted from the things that he said and the way that he was with me, and say, I know more than I give myself credit for, I'm going to guess I probably, like self-coaching, right, probably could go to the business module that's in the bonus materials and find some kind of template or suggestion that will catalyze getting it all out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. Not going to comment on it, but yes.
Okay.
Beautiful. So this is good. This is good. We could go further, but I think this has given us a lot to work with. So I'm going to ask everybody, including you, Anne, now. I'm going to put you back on mute, Anne. I'm going to ask everybody to take a moment and write down 5 to 10 things that you heard as you were listening that feel important, particularly to a breakthrough. Take another moment with that. And I'll add some other questions if that may help add some things to everybody's list. So are there any things that you're curious about or want to know more about? What did you hear that perked your ears up that you're curious about, you want to hear more about? In other words, that it feels like a significant piece that you've listened to. Another question to consider is, as you were listening, what do you sense was in your client's blind spot? And a similar question is, what are you hearing in what Anne said that she spoke it, but she's not fully hearing it yet? So what did she speak that actually she's not even fully hearing yet, but you heard it? And I'll throw this one other question in the mix. What hunches do you have? Right? This is about listening to yourself while listening to clients. What hunches do you have based on the listening that you did? All right, and star two to share. Who is this? 2208.
This is Chance.
Hey, Chance. Great to hear your voice.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, it's not something that comes up very often. I was listening, and there was a part in there where she described what she did for her clients, and it was so juicy and so rich and so articulate that I didn't even write it down. I've been taking notes the whole time, and it's like I was just sitting there going, wow, you know, and I thought, why didn't she just put that down?
Yes, I heard that too. There were certain moments where it was like, this is word-for-word marketing copy, right? It would
draw
her. Ideal client.
Yeah.
Moments of such clarity and knowing and articulateness.
Yeah. And the part where she said that she really loved being able to help her clients shift much faster than they thought they were going to, and then they could dream bigger.
That was powerful. Beautiful. Thank you. Yes, agreed with all of that. Just like such powerful things and marketing ready copy in there for sure.
Yeah, she's going to have to listen to the recording.
Yes. Yes, I'm glad it's being recorded. All right, good. Who else? We've got just a few minutes left, but let's make the last few minutes count. Star two. What else did you hear? Don't be shy and see if you want to take a risk, even if you're not sure on what you heard. Let's hear it. Belinda.
Anne, thank you so much, because as you spoke, you really helped me in so many ways. What I noticed most about was your tone and the times you felt unsure, like you had this little lilt in your voice. But when you came to a place of your own knowing, like it's just something you dropped in your tone just dropped in a place that felt so soothing and so confident at the same time. So if you could pay attention, I'm thinking the hidden places, paying attention to that fear you have that keeps your voice from being more, you know, paying attention to that fear so you can come back to your knowing, so your voice comes through in a way that I think would help people to even hear you even more.
I love that. I love that you're bringing the tone piece forward. We haven't yet really spoken about that on the call today. And it's so great that you were able to hear that, and it's so true. There were many moments where you could hear in Anne's tone, she was totally sure. Like she actually really knew, and you could hear the energy behind it. Wasn't just like a confidence, but it was infectious. It was a being drawn in with what she was sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, great, Deborah.
Hi, I just love the story about the woman that you helped
to get out of that abusive situation. I just, my heart goes out to you, and I commend you so much for that. And also, there was about the piece about the broken mirror and being able to repair the mirror and see yourself clearly. I think that's a gorgeous copy for you. I love, love, love that. And everything you do. What I want to know is if you recognize the fear, you know, not here, maybe later, and have a conversation with it. I was hearing that underneath there's this fear, of course. And, you know, maybe having that take you on a journey and meet that and befriend it and somehow transform that. Thank you.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Can I keep you on for one more moment? I know that Anne didn't like specific. She stated a couple of smaller fears, but if you were to guess, I know she didn't like state it. You know, we didn't get there in the conversation fully. But if you were to guess, Deborah, just from what you heard and listened, like what one of the fears, bigger fears, for Anne might be, what do you think you heard?
I heard her at the very beginning something about why she would think that she would be screwed forever.
So even that language that you heard, I didn't make note of that, but now that you're saying it, I remember that. Like, that was very strong language. There was something there that was triggering for her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Beautiful. Good. Really nice. Anyone else want to raise their hand? If not, I'm going to go through a couple other quickie things. Make a couple other. But anyone else want to share? All right, we got one more share. Yay, Emily.
Sure, a simple share. In the very beginning, I heard an urgency. You know, there was a mention of I don't have the luxury of time.
Yeah.
To find the ideal client and the, you know, beautiful marketing and the communication. So there's an urgency with time.
Yes.
But it was mentioned that one time, but not repeated back. So I'm just curious about that.
Yeah. And what I heard the urgency, and I know a little bit more about Anne's situation, so I can add this other piece. I also heard a resolve, like she's made a decision that she is going to put herself out there quicker than she had anticipated. So there's an urgency and I think a decision that was made. Great. Thank you. All right. I know that we're at time, guys. I just want to share a couple other things. I mean, there's so many things that were shared, but just to help you guys a little bit more, I heard that Anne is really generous, right? So as a coach, especially if we're coaching someone over a long period of time, we want to take note of their essential nature. She coached this woman for free for 2 years, right? She's an incredibly generous soul. I heard that she's amazing at what she does, right? She's a great practitioner. And I also heard that she loves her work. You could tell that when she was talking about her work and her clients, there was deep satisfaction and passion and love in there. I heard that at least in the past, I'm not sure about the present, we would have had to look deeper, but at least in the past, Anne has given her power away. And there are some cases where maybe she hasn't fully taken her power back, right? That's important. It's something we would want to work on together. This is real simple, but important. I heard that Anne is really great at brainstorming and can get into the flow, but then she forgets it. So just like as a practical suggestion, like recording herself, when she's in brainstorm mode would probably be really helpful. And also maybe she needs to riff off of other people's questions. So just to get a partner to ask her questions for her marketing and to record it. Simple, practical, right? But important. I also heard that there's a fear. She spoke about a fear of misrepresentation. And I got in there, I think, a few things I heard in that. Number one, that she's a woman of integrity. She doesn't ever want to misrepresent in her marketing. But I think I also may have heard, and I would have wanted to look more at this, maybe a little bit of like a, what's the word I want to say, like too, almost too scared of misrepresentation, that it's holding her back. That, yes, we want to be in integrity 100%, but we can't be perfect either. I heard a little bit about around myth of perfection, around needing to be uber clear. I mean, yes, we do need to be uber clear in our marketing, but maybe just a little bit of myth of perfection there, possibly. And then again, practical piece, but important, you know, just as she was talking, one of the things she said was there's so many things that people came to me and they thought the thing was insurmountable, and then within days or weeks, they got over it. So if I was coaching her, and part of what I was doing is helping her get more clear for her marketing, I would pay attention to that. I might ask, like, you know, what are some of those things that people thought were insurmountable that they actually were able to get over? Okay, we are over, so I am going to end here. For those of you that are in Catalyzing Breakthroughs, you'll get a worksheet to go along with our call today to go deeper into your listening skills. And if you're working with a partner, go deeper on your hunches, right? That's I want with your listening skills, listen to your own hunches. And let's see how that goes for you. Thank you, everybody, for just bringing yourselves forward today, bringing your brilliance, your presence, whether you shared or not. I'm so happy that you are here if you're listening to the recording. Thank you. Please post your takeaways in the Facebook group. Thinking about you all, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.